An interesting thing we did go see Saving Christmas, and one of the things that got pointed out was that the swaddling cloth that they wrapped Jesus in, you know, we just kind of go, okay, so he was wrapped in a blanket. But it was actually the same cloth that they used when they wrapped his body after he died. The same type of cloth, which normally you wouldn't wrap a newborn baby in what you were going to wrap a dead body in. But that is what they had. That's the kind of cloth that was available. And it was symbolic of that. And the wise men, the spices that they brought, the frankincense, the myrrh, the burial spices, that's what you anointed dead bodies with to help cover the smell. That was how you did that. And they were very expensive. Can you imagine bringing, you know, a floral basket that you would take to a funeral, to a birth? You wouldn't do that. But that, it was all symbolic of what Jesus came for, what his purpose was, and why he came. He didn't just come and like Pastor Sue mentioned, about not being born in a palace. And I was thinking about that this morning, that it was intentional that he was born into basically poverty, that he was made lowly. You know, it says that he made himself lowly, lower than the angels. He made himself of the lowest people and was born where animals were feeding and stinking. And there was nothing glorious about that. And he was God. I mean, he could have been born in the most glorious palace and it still wouldn't have been good enough for him because he's God. But he chose to be born somewhere like that so that he could understand and experience the things that we go through, the hardships we go through, the struggles, not just having everything, but the difficulties. And like when you think about that, that is just amazing that he was willing to do that. Because as a human, you know, we don't want to give up any of our comfort, let alone every comfort. So he's pretty awesome. Just a cradle in the shadow of a cross. Just a cradle in the shadow of a cross. Little Lord Jesus, born in a manger. Just a cradle in the shadow of a cross. Just a cradle in the shadow of a cross. Just a cradle in the shadow of a cross. Little Lord Jesus, lying in a manger, just a cradle in the shadow of a cross. Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you delivered will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy would give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would calm the storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? When you kiss your little baby, you kiss the face of God. Oh, Mary, did you know? The blind will see, the deaf will hear, the dead will live again. The lame will leap, the dumb will speak, the praises of the Lamb. Mary, did you know your baby boy is Lord of all creation? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day rule the nations? Did you know your baby boy is heaven's perfect lamb? The sleeping child you're holding is the great I am.
For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace.
We're going to talk about the birth of Jesus. And as I started thinking about that this morning and preparing it, I thought again about the verse where Jesus said, "Eat my flesh and drink my blood." Ever since he opened that up to me, I absolutely love it. Eating the flesh of Jesus, nurturing ourselves on how he lived in the flesh. This morning we want to see how he lived in the flesh of a little baby. That's an amazing thought. We were talking about it the other day, and Jackson said, it's so hard to think of Jesus as a baby. And you know, the great God of heaven deciding to enter this earth in the body of a little baby. You know how vulnerable a little newborn baby is? They can't do anything for themselves. Here God puts himself in the weakest, most vulnerable flesh on earth to have to depend on sinful humans to even feed him, to change his little diapers. Can you imagine changing God's diaper? What a thought, you know? Even that God has a diaper. I mean, you know, we don't want to think of God even needing diapers. What a thought. Why did he come that way? Why did he come so humble and so weak and so vulnerable? Anybody want to comment on that? Why he would choose to come that way? We're going to make this a real joint thing going on here today, so get ready to join in and bring a lesson. Anybody want to comment on why he would come as a baby? For our website audience.
Well, I think that he had to come as a child so we would realize that we had to come and not know anything. So I think that was the most important part for him coming was as a child. Because if he was a grown-up, you know, it was like he'd already have things in his mind and stuff, and he had to be pure at the beginning. So he had to come as a child.
Anyone else have a thought on that? Why Jesus came as a baby? Larry?
Well, he had to come as a child, as the scripture says, that he learned obedience by the things that he suffered. And he also had to get to the point where he had to learn obedience to his earthly parents. He was tempted in all ways like us, but then said not. So he had to experience the things that a child would experience, and he had to experience teenager things, and he had to experience adult things, so that he would have all those experiences in him, and yet sin not.
Amen. Amen. He learned obedience by the things he suffered. Wow. That's a thought right there, isn't it? That's how we learn best, too, by the things we suffer. So let's look at the birth of Jesus. Let's go to Matthew 1:18-25. Let's read about that virgin birth of Jesus. You know, we read this every year, but let's read it slowly today, and let's think about some things and bring out some points, you know, that maybe we just normally just read this so quick we rush by it and don't get everything God gave us in it. So Matthew, I'm actually turning there, so I'm slow. You have to wait for me. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Stop and comment right there. We want to think about Mary as we're reading this part too. She had never been with a man. She was a virgin. And, you know, a lot of people want to take this fact that she was the mother of Jesus and glorify her more than Jesus. You know, we see all these statues of Mother Mary and people wanting to pray to Mother Mary as though we had to go through his mother to get to Christ. She wasn't holy. She wasn't holy. She was a sinner. You know, we go through Scripture and we say where Mary rebuked Jesus when she couldn't find him at 12 when he was teaching in the temple. She rebuked him. You know, she made him leave. He said, "Did you not know I must be about my Father's business?" So his mother made the mistake of thinking she could correct him, but he submitted to her. That was one of the things he suffered. Again, Mary came to him at the wedding before he'd started doing miracles and told people that he would do a miracle. She presumed that she could tell him when to do his miracles. It was another mistake of Mary. When Mary and his brothers came and his disciples said, "Your mother and your brothers are here," he said, "Who is my mother and brother? But those that do the will of God." He made sure that they put enough scriptures in to show you that Mary was a sinner. She wasn't any holier than you and I. It was Christ who was holy, not Mary. She was very honored and privileged, though, to be chosen to get to be the mother. In verse 19, "Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived of her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophets, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from his sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bid him, and he took unto him his wife, and he knew her not until she brought forth her firstborn son and called his name Jesus." I just want to invite you to share if what God shows you. God show you anything in those verses you'd like to share? Anyone? See a hand? Ask the Lord now, "Open my eyes here. Show me some things I haven't seen." What would you like to share, Apostle Harvey? I saw that hand.
I can't say that I haven't seen these things before.
Okay. Go ahead.
I don't want to take everybody. You know what I mean?
There's no other hand up.
Does anybody want to say anything first? What do you see in this passage?
Go ahead.
His mother Mary, engaged to Joseph. God chose both of them, Mary and Joseph, before they came together. Virginity is something highly treasured by God. She was found with child of the Holy Ghost. God put his seed in Mary. It was a miracle. And notice the integrity, the honesty, the compassion, the kindness of Joseph, her husband. They looked at him as husband and wife before they were even married, when they were engaged. It used to be they called it, if you broke, back in the 50s or whatever, when people, what would they call it? When the, like if somebody, they were
breach
engaged.
Breach of promise.
Breach. And now they don't even,
right.
We've lessened it so
much. It was
against
the law to break an engagement back, you know, even into the 1950s. If you broke off an engagement call, breach of promise, you could be sued for that.
Yep. And how high and holy and high standards God has. It's like how God thinks of things. And he didn't understand, the husband didn't understand all these things, but he was going along with it, when we move with what God gives us, then God brings the understanding. But he wants us to learn to live by faith, which is not understanding everything, but following when we don't understand. And so then, and the bigger the thing, the bigger the revelation. So now he has an angel appears unto him in a dream and breaks it down for him and says, now, I don't want you to just name him whatever, but I want you to name him Jesus because there is a purpose he's being born. Now, I really like it that he saves his people from their sins, not in their sins. I just love that thought. And it's amazing that his name is Emmanuel, God just making it so clear that he is God with us. Amen. God with us.
I want you to think about Jesus as a baby for a minute. Can you even imagine being told that your baby is the Savior of the world? Can you? What's it like every time you pick that baby up? You know, that song, Mary, Did You Know? When you kiss the face of Jesus, you kiss the face of God. Can you imagine knowing that every time you kiss that baby? I mean, what a strange thing. You know, to even imagine that. The humility that it must cause in Mary, even to say, I'm feeding God. Right. Right. I'm rocking God. Man, I can't even imagine. Can't even imagine. Anybody want to share anything about that?
Yeah. Knowing that the girl that he wanted to be with was pregnant, and him wondering, where'd this come from?
Yeah.
I mean, at first, yeah. Okay, who you been with?
Right.
But yet, God showed, the angels came and showed him, and then he was obedient.
Right. Amen.
I mean, that would be really hard.
Yeah.
Well, the thing about Joseph is if people did calculations on Mary, they're going, wait a second, how can she give birth? And, you know, there would have been some scorn and some shame in the neighborhood. And he was still yet willing to put up with that.
I just had a thought as you said that. The Holy Spirit came and told her. So she might not even have shown yet. It might have been the very implantation at that moment. And she told Joseph. But he didn't believe it. I don't know. Maybe she didn't even show. So him marrying her now might have been, they get married, then she begins to show, and everybody thinks Joseph was the one who did this. That's shame on him too. You know, because God usually does his miracles. He does them in a way that people can say, it's a coincidence. It wasn't God. It was Joseph. Now they're trying to say it was a miracle so that they're not shamed. You know? I could see that. Who had a hand over here? Rick?
Well, I was kind of, while I was listening to this, come up to me where how God prepares things from the beginning. And it's down the whole legitimacy line. From Adam, really, and Eve, but it's, and then from Father Abraham to David and all that, and it's the upbringing, the teachings, and everything that keep them going throughout that whole time, to where when they got to Joseph and Mary, that they had this upkeeping, that they knew about Christ, they knew what was coming, but they just didn't have the expectation that it was them.
Yeah, you know, the prophecies had been there for years. The prophecies had been there. Everyone knew there was a prophecy that the Christ would be born in Bethlehem. We'll see that as we go on reading. Even King Herod and all the scribes and the people that he was talking to, he asked them, where am I going to find this baby? And they said, according to prophecy, he's born in Bethlehem. They all knew there was a prophecy. So again, there is, you can believe what was written, so this is God, or you can say, I don't believe it. The girl got pregnant, now she's trying to find a way out of the shame. You know, there's always that room that you cannot believe God. You can just choose to doubt. Let's think about who came to see him. And as we're talking about who believed and who came to see Jesus, who believed this prophecy and accepted that this was him, and who didn't, who was just totally oblivious. You know, as we start out in Luke chapter 2, if you want to turn there, as we start out in Luke and they're coming to the inn, we see there was no room for them. But had that innkeeper been a godly person and said, whoa, wait a minute, there's something different going on here, I'll give you my room. Had he really known who Mary was carrying, he would have made room for them. But he missed it. He was right there, but he missed it and said, well, you can go stay with the animals in the barn. He did not know who he was talking to. Luke 2, verse 7. And she brought forth her firstborn son. Right there is another cue that she's not a holy person who was only here to birth Christ. She had other children later. And she wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for him in the inn. You know, God not only humbled himself to be born as a baby, he could have been born as a baby in a palace, at least had silken blankets and nursemaids and great nursery and toys, but he didn't. He on purpose took them to a place where he knew they would end up, in the stable with animals. He chose to be born in complete humility, without the luxuries. Who recognizes Jesus today? Who makes room for him today? We have to make room for him in our life. Amen. Chapter 2, verse 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over the flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Got my page stuck. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord made known unto us. These shepherds were close. They weren't too far away. And we see that they came while he was still a babe lying in this manger. So they were the first visitors to come. But these were people, men, who had to already have believed God, known the prophecies, were ready to believe a miracle. And God sent an angel to them, and he shined his light and his glory about them. We need to be living with expectation. We need to be living with belief for the miracles that are coming. We have had prophecies of things coming. And if we're living, praying for those things to come, waiting for those things to come, when they do, God will make it known to us and we'll believe. We'll be ready, we'll believe, and we'll be ready to get up and go and see what the God wants to show to us. Anybody want to share what you've seen in that? Anything there that you want to bring out?
One word you skipped over was back at the beginning when the angels came. It says, fear not, for behold, I bring you
good tidings of great joy. He didn't bring it to everybody. It was a messenger sent from God to them particularly. You spoke about that.
It's true.
I just want to make sure it was
right
to
them. I like they were shepherds watching over their flock.
Right.
They were over the people God assigned to them, watching over those people. They were doing what he placed them there to do. They were positioned. They were in position where they belonged. What if one of those shepherds had a headache that morning and said, I'm just not going to go out there and watch that flock today? He would have missed it. What if he said, I'm so sick of watching those dirty old sheep, I resign. He wouldn't have got to be part of it. There they were out in the field taking care. And sheep are dirty. Oh, are they dirty animals? We had a couple of live ones. They are so dirty. And there's these shepherds faithfully standing in their position doing what they were called to do. So they were there when the glory came, the light that shined all about them. They got to go and see the miracle and be part of it. Any comments? Yeah. 16, and they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. Once they had seen, they didn't just go, I got a feel-good moment. They told. They became a witness.
Amen.
Faith in action. Go and tell. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds.
Yep.
But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Show and tell. Go and tell. What have you seen? What have you seen with God? Are you out praising and glorifying and telling what you've seen? Some of us may not have seen anything. We don't have anything to tell. Maybe it's because we're not standing in the position where he's called us to stand. So we missed it. Some people are seeing the glory of God. Some people are seeing what he's about to do. And you know, first he tells the prophets, they had to write it so that the shepherds had read it and they knew things were coming and they were waiting. When the prophets tell it, you've got to believe it. Wait for it. Get in your place. Be ready. So you'll see something of God that you can go out and tell others. You know, yay. I was just going to say, you got something, just jump in and interrupt me. Just get a hand up and I'll take a break.
I have a thought. All these people that were in position, if we don't know who we are in Christ, then we'll make excuses. And we'll. So my thought is, find out the value that God has on your life and be where you're supposed to be. All those people, obviously, they had a focus of who they were and where they belonged and what they were supposed to do. And so that's my thought.
Amen. More?
Identity in Christ.
Identity in
who
Christ.
Are you?
You know, there's two things. We talk about this in inner healing. The devil will go two ways. He will either build you up in pride to make you think you're more spiritual than anyone else. You're smarter than anyone else. You know more than anyone else. And then you'll judge everybody, because I wouldn't do it that way. That's not what I do. That's not what I think. You know, how many times have you had the thought in our pride, if you'd only listen to me? Yeah, pride. Or he'll tear you down to think you're nobody, think you're no good. But when you get a grip on who you are in Christ, it does not make you proud. It makes you free. It sets you free. It humbles you to see the glory of who he made you to be and why you're here. It is humbling, honoring, and freeing. You won't think of yourself as, well, I'm just a worm, I hate myself. You'll like who you are in Christ. And yet, compared to him, seeing that we are all insignificant compared to him. So there's not going around with the pride. You'll actually realize how proud you've been and been ashamed of that. I had a vision not long ago, and so have others had a similar one, where I saw God in spirit, not in a body, but I saw him in lights, in colors, in motion, in freedom. And it was the closest thing I could describe would be some of the things you see in outer space. You know, when you see all the lights and colors in outer space that just take your breath away. Something similar to that, but even better. But then this past week, when I was telling God, you're just so beautiful, man. I'll never get over seeing you in spirit. It makes me just want to get out of this flesh, you know, and go live in spirit. And all of a sudden, I shut my eyes and I see God creating something. It started with a blue, a vibrant, gorgeous blue. He starts creating something. It starts moving. And he said, I'm just letting you see a touch of yourself in spirit. It was me. When he created me, it began with that blue, and it grew into other colors. But I didn't get to see completely everything I would be in spirit. But I saw enough to say, I don't like this flesh, man. I'm pretty in spirit. You know, if you ever think of yourself as not so pretty, man, I wish I didn't have this or this, a big nose, or I wish I didn't have this wrong with me. I'd like to. Once you begin to get a concept of we are spirit. Spirits are so beautiful. It's like this flesh is just the prison we're trapped in for a while. You know? Doesn't compare. You're beautiful. Every one of you, you're beautiful. You are beautiful. In spirit, you're beautiful. God is beautiful. And he's beautiful in you. We can only get free and see all that he wants to show us about our identity. It would be amazing. You could feel like you in spirit instead of like you in flesh if you could get a hold of that. Just to see how you feel, the real you sets you free. Yeah.
That's like us between God and the differences between us and God. Well, that's the same kind of difference between us and our flesh.
Right. Absolutely. I can just walk around feeling how pretty I am, but you just can't see it. Matthew 2:1, we see some other people that laid their life down to seek and to find and to worship the newborn king. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. Now we saw the shepherds, they weren't fancy. They were simple. But now we're going to see wise men that stood before kings and gave them advice. They came saying, verse 2, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. They had read the prophecies that there would be a special star leading to Christ. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. They said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophets. You realize all these scribes of the king knew the prophecies. But they weren't going to find Jesus. They didn't care. They didn't want God. They had read. They knew. They rejected. They're even saying, yep, it's true. He's been born and we'll tell you where it's at. He's in Bethlehem. Had knowledge. But they didn't have the heart to want to go and see him. To go and find him. Because it took some time. It took a lot of time. Because these shepherds traveled these wise men, they traveled a long time. Because we read in verse 11, when they were coming to the house. They didn't come to the manger at all. We see these Christmas plays and here comes the wise men. They didn't come to the manger. They came to a house where he was living. And they saw the young child. He wasn't a baby anymore. He was now a toddler. And proof of that, they saw the young child with his mother Mary, and they fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. They brought him gifts just because he was born. This is why we give birthday gifts. This is why we give Christmas gifts. Did any of you go and see Saving Christmas? That was put out, what's his name? Kirk Cameron? It's not like a real movie. It's more like almost like a documentary. But he put this out to speak to the Christians who go, I'm not going to have a tree in my house, not going to give any presents. This is about Christ. It's not about presents and trees, and we're not doing all that. Well, he goes through and talks to a man who felt like that and brings a lot of explanation about it is about Christ. And we celebrate Christ's birthday, and we give gifts, and we put the tree, and we decorate it, and we do the hoopla because of Christ. And it's really good. You should see it if you still can. I know it wasn't playing long because the world said it was the worst movie ever made, which it really has a good message, though. You should see it. Maybe you can go rent it or buy it at the Christian bookstore now. But it's worth seeing. We do it in honor of Christ. And these wise men brought him gifts. In verse 16, in verse 13, God warns Joseph and Mary to go to Egypt because Herod is going to try to kill Jesus. Then in 16, then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and he sent forth and he slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and all the coasts thereof from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. This is why, again, we know that it took the wise men a long time to get there, because Herod killed all the toddlers 2 years old and under. So we know Christ was somewhere in the age of 2 years old and under, living in a house, no longer a baby, by the time they got there to see him. First time I realized that, my grandson was playing Jesus in the manger, and I think he was about one and a half, and he's just running around up. They still had him in a manger in their skit, but he's running around up there, you know, like a toddler would be doing. And I looked at that and went, why didn't they use a baby? And that was the first time I really noticed the scripture to realize when the wise men came, he wasn't a baby anymore. Something, anybody want to comment on any of that? Seeking Jesus, laying down your life. Can you imagine worshiping somebody like Cayenne's age, you know? You didn't even catch him. Hey, wait a minute. Come back here. I'm trying to worship you. And run that toddler down so I can worship him. I don't even know what kind of toddler Jesus was. It's hard, even harder to imagine him as a toddler than as a baby, isn't it? What was he doing as a toddler? I don't know. He never sinned. So he didn't do some of the things our toddlers do, because they definitely sin. Like, give me that toy, mine, you know. He didn't have selfishness in him. So man, I would love to see a toddler without sin. That would be an amazing, that'd cause you to worship. Thank you, God. But something that really stands out to me in this story right there, when we read about Herod killing the babies, there was a prophecy that the Christ would be born, the Savior would be born. So the king, with the power in that day, the devil moved upon him because Satan wanted to kill Christ, not let that Savior be born. So they killed the babies. When Moses was prophesied, a deliverer would be born that would lead the people out of slavery, the king murdered all the babies trying to kill the deliverer because of prophecy. They had to believe enough in God to believe the prophecy so that they would try to stop it by murdering God's people. We've had prophecies spoken about this last big move of God and how he's going to move through children. He's going to come to set people free and bring them to Christ through children. And we have the biggest mass murder of babies ever with abortion going on. I say it's a sign. I say it's a sign that the devil has heard. There's going to be great armies of children that God is going to impart his power to. And therefore, Satan has moved on our society to legalize abortion and murder babies. Millions of babies have been murdered. But you know what? They missed on Moses. And he missed again on Jesus. And he missed again. Because we're still going to have that great move of God. And we're still going to see children preaching, prophesying, healing, bringing others to Christ. We're still going to see it. Acts 2:17. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Now what are you going to do with that, Satan? He's hit every age. He hit every age. Because sons and daughters, when you read it, it says a child. A child. Your children and your young men and your old men. He said, I'm going to come through everybody, all flesh. And what are you going to do, wipe out all humanity? You can't stop God. Things are coming. They've been prophesied. Amen. Things are coming. Father, we love you. We thank you so much. You're bigger than the boogeyman. He can never stop what you're going to do. And we just want to be a part of those that you pour out your spirit upon. We want to be one of them. Thank you, Jesus, for being born, for being our Savior, for living a sinless life and dying in our place. Happy birthday. Merry Christmas. Amen.